Some years ago, a man in the church I served asked if I would go to lunch with him to talk about his career. Sure, I said, of course, I'd love to do that. This man, who was about my age, and his wife had moved to the area about a year earlier and had become active in the church. Their story, as I understood it, is that they both worked in the corporate world. The man had had a very successful career in the corporate world, the wife as well. But he decided that he wanted to make a change. He wanted to be an actor. So, for reasons that weren't entirely clear, they moved to Nashville. They had been in a larger city, but they decided to move to Nashville. And the wife was in a business that allowed her to get a new job here, did really well, and the husband started taking acting courses. And he may have been in a music video or a locally produced commercial or two, and he had a few minutes on stage around town, but that's all about all I recall. At lunch that day, he told me that he wanted to start a mission. Great, I responded. What kind of mission are you talking about? And he told me that he wanted to open an acting school as a mission. He wanted to help people. He talked about evening classes for adults and after school classes for underprivileged children. And I asked him why he needed a mission to accomplish this. I told him that you can open an acting school, but it doesn't need to be a mission. It can just be a business. But a business intentionally operated with care, with compassion, with integrity. He could run this business with the attitude of a servant. I told him the world has plenty of missions. What it needs is good business people. He could help those who needed help. He could help children. He could help adults. He could give them the benefits of acting that he wanted to do. Now, the man heard what I said and didn't like it at all. He was determined to start this nonprofit organization, complete with a board of directors. He wanted the church to get involved. He thought that everyone should be helping him and supporting him. Now, I would like to say that I was wrong, that the acting school was a huge success as a mission. It wasn't. A nonprofit was formed and a board was gathered. I knew a lot of the people involved, but it never seemed to go anywhere. They came to realize that this guy really didn't want to serve as much as he wanted to be served. He wanted to make a lot of noise. He wanted the board to tell him what a great job he was doing. I was reminded of this story this week as I've been pondering the words of Isaiah about being a servant of God. This passage in Isaiah is the first of four separate passages in that book that are known as the servant songs. These passages, poems or songs, describe to us God's faithful servant. As you will recall from our journey through the Gospel of Luke, several times Jesus claimed that in him the scriptures were fulfilled. For example, chapter 24, Jesus says, "Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." You will also recall that Luke provides no information whatsoever about what it meant that the scriptures would be fulfilled. How will this happen? What will that look like? But Luke, he doesn't have to explain this at all. His people knew the scriptures, our Old Testament. They knew the words of Isaiah about God's servant. They knew the Psalms and the words of the prophets. When Jesus, whom they believed to be God's Messiah, talks about the fulfillment of Scripture, they understand what he's saying. One of the passages that they would have been familiar with is this one from Isaiah. It is one of the four servant songs and provides to us one description of what God's servant would be like. In our reading today, God first introduces and then endorses this servant. God calls the servant my chosen. In the servant, God's soul delights. God's spirit is on the servant, and the servant will bring justice to the nations. This servant works quietly. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. Too many people, I believe, think that to serve God, they must make a lot of noise, generate attention, get the accolades. But all that is just a distraction. I think that Matthew's gospel, I think about Matthew's gospel when Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them." And he goes on to say, "Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door." God's servant works quietly. God's servant protects the weak and the broken. Isaiah writes, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench." In other words, those who don't shine as brightly as others are not to be extinguished. Those who are damaged are not to be discarded. And once again, Isaiah reminds us, this servant brings forth justice. Finally, Isaiah tells us, the servant is strong. The servant perseveres and does not give up until justice prevails. Out in eastern Oklahoma, there used to be a billboard. It may still be there. And driving across the flat terrain of Oklahoma, you could see this billboard from far away. In huge letters, it read, "Jesus saves." All right? You can expect to see that in Oklahoma. But as you get closer, you discover there's a second line under it, and it reads, "He sets the captives free." Amen to that. And then, as you get right up to the billboard, you see a third line at the bottom, and it reads, "Joe Bob's bail bonds." It's got Joe Bob's number if you need it. Servant-wise, I don't think Joe Bob quite fits the bill of Isaiah. In the second half of our reading today, God establishes a relationship with the servant. In the first half, we learn what the servant is like. In the second half, God tells us that God has a relationship with this servant. This God, God who created the world, God who gave life, this God calls and claims the servant. And God has taken the servant by the hand and gives the servant as a covenant to the people. This servant is to be a light to the nation. The servant will open the eyes that are blind and free the prisoners. On the Christian calendar, today is a day that we call Baptism of the Lord Sunday. It's a reminder and a celebration that on the day that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, that God publicly claimed him. As we read in Matthew's gospel, Jesus came to John to be baptized. John announces that he's not worthy of this task. Jesus tells John that it must be done this way to, quote, fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is baptized, and as he's coming up out of the water, the Spirit of God descends like a dove, and a voice from heaven declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus is the servant proclaimed by Scripture. Jesus is God's chosen one, baptized to bring justice, not to a few, but to all the nations. So, my question for you, if Jesus is the servant, does that get the rest of us off the hook? No, because this passage in Isaiah is a vision. It's a vision not just for God's anointed, but it is a vision for us all. It is an imagining of the servant that we should all strive to be. We find ourselves this week at the start of a new year. I don't know if each of you makes resolutions, but I do ask that you take this time at the start of a new calendar to set aside a moment or two in prayer and reflect on your spiritual life. What direction do you wish that your life will take this year? How do you want your relationship with God to grow? I would encourage you to think about increasing your commitment to servanthood. Look back at this passage from Isaiah. How can you be the fulfillment of the words we read there? How can you quietly bring justice to the lives of those around you? How can you protect and lift up the lives of the weak and the broken? Now, I can't tell you how to serve because that's personal. Maybe you'll choose to feed the hungry or shelter the homeless. Maybe you will befriend the forgotten or stand against racial injustice or gender injustice or economic injustice. Maybe you will use your talents to assist others in their lives. Maybe you will choose to protect the vulnerable. I have a friend who unfortunately rejects all religion, but who does quietly give his free time to hospice to sit with the dying. I knew him for several years before I discovered that he did this. And I would argue that he quietly is being a servant. To be a servant of God is to live a life of servanthood, not just on Sundays, but every day, every moment. One serves not out of charity, but out of a desire for justice. And imagine doing this with God's blessing. As the scripture tells us, with God's Spirit, the Spirit that goes on God's servant. Imagine how powerful you can be with God's Spirit resting on you. Finally, servants of God can be individuals, but servants can also be a community. A church is such a servant community. It should be. And we do it here when we covenant together in service. All those people serving together, that truly is the scriptures fulfilled.